Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of The End Zone here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you know, I'm Kyle, and, you know, we keep everything nice and red and yellow around here. It's nice and bright, not like that dark silver and black thing that the guy who also co-hosts the show, Mr. Raider Nerd himself.
It looks like you got a bunch of condiments in there, buddy. A bunch of condiments. That's what it looks like.
You know, it just looks like a whole...
I've got death and despair to our opponents here, buddy.
Yes. Are you sure that's not Oakland Raider fan themselves is here before the end of the year?
Hey, no, we're dealing out pain, man.
While experiencing,
I was gonna say
while your IR list continues to grow. And for the record, that is Kevin, the Raider Nerd, writes all over there. You know, the co-host here on the End Zone, of course, and my co-founder here in the Fandom Podcast Network. Kevin, we're hitting the stretch run of the NFL season. We're hitting the double-digit weeks. Things are getting interesting.
Yes, we are.
We have no undefeated teams left now.
This is true. Yeah, it's interesting. You got those, what is it, those 72 Dolphins now busting open the champagne bottle now. But yeah, man, it's getting interesting. Teams are kind of starting to build an identity if they haven't already claimed their position at the top of the heap. You know, we got other teams fighting for it, and it's always interesting to see those wild card team playoffs. You know, and those wild card teams when they get hot, they get hot. You know, and it's interesting how that can culminate in just like a few weeks,
without a doubt. But speaking of which, week 10 was one of the more bizarre weeks we've had in this NFL season, Kevin.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
So let's before we get into that, obviously, let's tell all the good people where you can find, of course, not only the End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And that starts, of course, on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. And, of course, if you're on your mobile device, you can download the Podbean app and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play for your Android device users. I'm forgetting one here, Kevin. What am I forgetting?
Stitcher, Podbean,
Google Play, Apple Podcast, Spotify. That's it. Spotify. Too many hits to the head this weekend.
Wind chimes. Yeah, bells.
Adam O'Brien was insisting I play rugby this weekend. Now I understand why Americans are smart enough not to play rugby. And of course, too, you can follow us on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also goes to our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of all of our craziness here at the End Zone and our top-notch mediocre fantasy football advice. Two, you can find me on social media at AKyleW on Twitter or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where are you at on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, too, you can support the Fandom Podcast Network by visiting TeePublic and going to the Fandom Podcast Network store on TeePublic, where you can find gear of all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network, including End Zone gear for the first time ever this season. It looks sharp on a nice black t-shirt, Kevin. I will say that.
It does. I feel naked. Hold on one second.
I think I know what he's getting, ladies and gentlemen. He's been feeling it. Let's see if we're about to have some cross promotion here. We're waiting.
All right. I need to put something raidery on right now. All right, there we go.
And for those of you who don't realize, it's my highly disappointed face because I really thought since The Mandalorian premiered on Disney Plus, I might have seen a Mando helmet on your head.
No, but I do have my Mando sweatshirt on, but I'm wearing my Raider Bowler hat. There we go.
For some reason, I feel like throwing strikes. Anyway, too, you can also leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. We love those 5-star reviews, of course, but we love the feedback in general because we want to make sure we're bringing you the best podcasts, as we say around here, to feed your ears. So, Kevin, now we've got all the business taken care of. let's talk about the craziness that was week 10 of the NFL season. And it started with a wild game involving the team that's on your bowler hat on Thursday Night Football as they played the Nomad Chargers. Cause I'm not even going to call them the LA Chargers anymore. They're the Nomad Chargers.
No, Chargers. Nomad Chargers. I like that actually. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, man, we got our Thursday night game and also the last primetime regular season game and last primetime game in, I guess, Oakland, I guess, so to speak, right? Yeah, so going into this, and I had mentioned that I was nervous about this game. Now, the Chargers, if you look at their schedule, they're a bad team. But they got some really good players on that team. Just something, whatever is happening, is just the Chargers, I guess. I don't know. They got really good players, and they always play the Chargers. The Chargers always play the Raiders really tough. Real quick, do they do the same for you guys?
Oh, yeah. In fact, remember we had that Thursday night game where we lost by a point because the Chargers went for two on, like, they scored a touchdown on the final play of the game and then went for two. Mm. But yeah, the Chargers that's games, right. That's the frustrating thing with the Chargers. The Chargers games are just always so weird.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, you know, the Chargers, I think weren't the Raiders favored?
2.5, I believe.
No, yeah. So it wasn't a lot. And I was really nervous about that game and, you know, cause injuries abound, of course, you know that about that with your team. But yeah, that was an exciting game because, it came down to, some final plays there, but got to give it to our young defense, man. Our defense really, really, stood up there and the Raiders are the most penalized team right now. And, you know, they seem to find ways to shoot themselves in the foot. You know, we had turnovers and all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, we also had another turnover that was negated because of Max Crosby penalty. And, I mean, we just had some standouts, man. It was just really, really cool game to watch. They were all up in Rivers' face. And Max Crosby, if he's not sacking, which I think he shared like one or two sacks and, you know, was Cleveland Farrell, he's disrupting the line there big time in the trenches. And he is fun to watch. He's infectious. His the way that he plays and then dude, Josh Jacobs still the beast. I mean, I don't know what else has to happen. God forbid he doesn't get hurt, that he doesn't
I want to throw that out. I mean, this kid is something special. I mean, I thought he was going to be good coming into the league, but I don't think anybody foresaw this. And
yeah. And this is one of those games too that also made me nervous because if this is the game that, because the Chargers are starting to make this surgence, you know, just like the Raiders were basically. And whoever lost this game, it was going to be more of an uphill climb to try to even sniff any playoff hope.
And I think the Chargers really needed the win a lot more than even you guys did.
To a certain degree, yeah. Yeah, because of where the record stands right now. You know, I mean, yeah, we would have been, 4-5 and stuff now, but they're like 4-6. So, yeah, it's crazy, but it was a great divisional win, and this home stretch has been good to us right now. We got one more left before we hit back on the road again.
It was an entertaining game, and that's what you like to see in the AFC West games. They just get weird. Now, here's a game. The next game that's up on the schedule, the Bears beat the Lions 20-13, but there was a couple weird things in this game, Kevin, because right before games started on Sunday, like maybe about. Right as the pregame shows were starting, we found out Matthew Stafford wasn't going to play in this game because he has broken bones in his back again. Yeah.
What?
He has, like, remember, like, Derek Carr's back injury? He's same kind of thing.
Yes.
But apparently Stafford had this last year as well. And the doctors pulled him and told him he cannot play because he was getting ready to go play.
So this game went on.
Correct.
Without Stafford.
And it's like it broke a streak he had of a mile long of games started. But the other weird thing about this was Mitchell Trubisky decided to show up and play quarterback.
The Bears are going to have an interesting offseason here if they're going to decide whether or not he's going to be.
Yeah,
their guy.
real quick too, and I didn't put this in our news notes, but there are some reports circulating that Cam Newton said he would be open to a trade to the Chicago Bears. Is Cam Newton an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky? I have to say yes.
I brought that up last week. So, remember that?
Yeah, it's getting interesting and more interesting. I think it's safe to say at this point we can lock the Cincinnati Bengals in for the number one overall pick as they fell 0-9 as Lamar Jackson is playing Madden football with the league right now.
Is it? Yeah, it might be.
I don't know. I think more Madden because the way he's juking people. I mean, he's just it's phenomenal what he's doing. But the Ravens win 49-13 over the Bengals. Lamar Jackson is one of the most entertaining players in the game to watch right now, Kevin.
Could you see him fantasy wise next year being the number one quarterback over Mahomes?
I don't think so because I just we'll get to Mahomes in a little bit, but Mahomes just keeps putting up just crazy, insane numbers. And as good as Lamar Jackson is, he doesn't quite have the weapons that Patrick Mahomes does. He does a lot of it on his own. And I still think the fear with Lamar Jackson is as much as he runs, one good hit, could it be the end per se? So we'll see.
Could say that for anybody right now.
In a game that was just bizarre in its own right, the Browns won over the Bills 19-16. The Browns at one point had 8 plays in a row from first and goal on the 1 yard line and couldn't get it in the end zone in this game.
What I want to know is going into this game, the Browns were favored by, I think, 2 or 3 points. Okay. Why do the football gods or the NFL puppeteers, the Bills, in my opinion, should have been favored going into that game. I think you would agree with that. We talked about that. But for some reason, they knew something enough to know that the Browns were going to barely win this game by 3 points.
Exactly. I think sometimes the fix is in. But you know what, Kevin? It's the next game on the calendar because this was the game that said football season is here. And that was the Carolina Panthers falling to the Green Bay Packers 16-24. But you know why this game said football season is here, Kevin? Because it was snowing in Green Bay. It's in tundra. And this was actually a great game. And what was great about this is the snow kind of started slow and built out throughout the game. So by the end of the game, the field had a nice little coat of white, not that real thick stuff, but just a nice sprinkling of white on it. And you could tell they were having a little bit of problems. Mm-hmm. But this game did come down to literally the final play of the game. And the Packers held on by this much. But it was a really entertaining game. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Aaron Jones, man. 3 rushing
teams. I'm going to throw this out there. Hot take this season. Aaron Rodgers isn't the best Aaron on the Packers.
Yes, right.
And again, wacky week 10. The Atlanta Falcons dominated the New Orleans Saints, beating them 26-9. And this was
In New Orleans, right?
And this was just an old-fashioned butt-whooping. The Atlanta defense, up to that game, had 6 sacks for the entire season. They had 6 sacks in that game.
Jeez.
I mean,
it's hard to see Breeze go down that many times.
I have a group of Saints fans in one of my fantasy football leagues, and they were putting up Teddy chants in the text group. The battle for the Jets. And quick shout out to Matt Knapp, one of our listeners, who clarified the locker room situation for you, Kevin.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. It's interesting that in a stadium that you call home when you play your home games, every now and then you just might have to play in the visitors, sit in the visitors locker room. So yeah, thank you for that clarification, man.
The Jets beat the Giants 34-27 in the battle for the New York title to see which team had the better 2-something record.
Just funny, though, that the Jets, when they set up the Jets for a home game, they have to cover those Super Bowl signs the Giants have. You know,
when we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the St. Louis or the St. Louis Cardinals. Wow. Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, dude.
Beating
wow.
the Arizona Cardinals 30-27 and actually a very entertaining football game. And I'm sorry, Kevin, Jameis Winston might be the biggest quandary at quarterback in NFL history. He threw him for his 6,300 plus passing yards game this season, tied for the most in the NFL. And yet he can't stop turning the football over either.
Sounds like
it's
Brett Favre.
It's worse than Favre though, because you know, it's just insane. Let's get to the return of Patrick Mahomes as the Titans come back and beat my beloved Kansas City Chiefs 35-32. Definitely not Patrick Mahomes' fault in this game, however, Kevin, as he threw for over 400 yards, including one of the coolest jump pass touchdown throws I've seen in a long time. I don't know if you saw that in the highlights or not.
I did not, but I heard about it. He's good.
Tyreek Hill had a huge game, but the problem in Kansas City is twofold. I'm starting to wonder, because they played pretty solid defense the two games Matt Moore was in there, and I think they felt like they knew they had to step it up. I'm wondering if they feel like when Patrick Mahomes is on the field that they just don't have to play as hard because they think he'll bail them out. And the other issue is Kansas City at one point in this game had all five reserve offensive linemen playing. Their linemen are dropping like flies. Now, the hope is a couple of them will be back for the Monday night game and that everybody else, for the most part, will be back after the bye week. But their offensive line has just been destroyed this year, and it's affected the running game. They can't seem to get the running game going on a consistent basis. And the injuries have been a big factor for the Chiefs' struggles this year.
All of our teams have injuries too, but it's one of those things where what I see too is your lack of running game and also your defense.
Well, and the running game, again, I think some of the offensive line and some of it is, and this is an Andy Reid problem, and it's been that way since he was back in Philadelphia. Andy Reid gets pass happy and he forgets about the running game. And, you know, it was a weird game because they didn't play LeSean McCoy. It was a predetermined rest game for LeSean McCoy. But, you know.
And why did that happen? I have no idea
other than LeSean McCoy is old. I think running back might be a position the Chiefs are going to have to address in the offseason. But, you tell me any team that can survive going with all five backup offensive linemen playing in the game for you. And, of course, just an amazing. And Kansas City still had a chance to tie this game and send it to overtime. And they had a blocked field goal. And I think part of it was, too, because of the offensive line injuries, it made it to where they had to keep a very basic snap count. And it allowed the Titans defender to just predict it perfectly and have the absolute most perfect jump. I know a lot of Chiefs fans are saying he was offsides. I've seen the video. It was just a hell of a defensive play, making the perfect jump to block that field goal. But, yeah, Kansas City, the defense, I don't know what the answer is at this point. I thought they would be better. I know they've had some injuries. They just lost another one. The guy who's leading the team in sacks just went down for the year with a torn pectoral. So, injuries are a factor, but they're not an excuse at this point, because when you're getting run on like the way Kansas City's getting run on, it's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, Frank Clark, I've been so highly disappointed in. He has been a huge bust so far this season for Kansas City. I really kind of wish they hadn't traded for him, and maybe would have went and got Jadeveon Clowney from the Seattle Seahawks, or I should say the Houston to
Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah,
but you know, we'll see about that. A game I actually predicted, though, Kevin, was the Dolphins beating the Colts 16-12. Dolphins win against the Colts for the first time since week 2 of 2013.
Is this a winning streak?
Two in a row. A game that was a shocker to me, though, Kevin, was the Steelers beating the Rams 17-12. And you know what? Pittsburgh's been playing better football. I'm just more shocked about how inept the Rams looked in this game.
I had a feeling the Steelers were going to win this game. I just did. I didn't think it was going to be in this fashion, and then the Rams looking as bad as they did.
And the Rams look terrible. I don't think the Rams are going to make the playoffs.
I think they've
got a Super Bowl.
Oh, they're 5-4, so we'll see. But yeah, it's you know, with them behind
Seattle and San Francisco. So, yeah. Sunday Night Football. I was a little shocked. the Vikings winning 28-24. No Adam Thielen in this game, but Dalvin Cook is a stud.
Yeah, he is.
33 touches, 183 yards, scrimmage yards. Dallas might be the most inconsistent team in the league. One week they look like world beaters, the next week they do
something
a little strange. But the game of the week was definitely the Monday night football game, Seattle-San Francisco in overtime. San Francisco took a huge lead early. Seattle comes back, wins this game. I think Russell Wilson after this game is by far in the driver's seat for the MVP this season.
Yeah, and from what I was reading up to in the notes about this game, I did not get a chance to watch it, unfortunately. But it seems like there was just injuries abroad dealt out on both teams. You know, Tyler Lockett
actually had a pretty scary injury. He couldn't fly because it was such a bad contusion on his leg.
Yeah.
But no, this was football, though. This was hard-hitting. It was a great game. Absolute thing. Of course, half the league was on bye this week as the Eagles, Patriots, Redskins, Broncos, Jaguars, and Texans. Let me get a breath. We're all on bye.
That's right.
So that was the craziness of week 10 of the NFL season. And yeah, Kevin, it's getting a little insane out there.
It is. It is, man. It's gonna, the next few weeks are going to be very, very interesting.
Without a doubt. So with that, let's talk a little bit of power rankings, Kevin, because the power rankings are all over the place this week. Which one do you want to address first? Which one do you have in front of you? I have the NFL power rankings in front of me.
I have the CBS.
Okay, so why don't you hit the CBS ones first, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the NFL and see where the differences lie.
All right, so CBS here has the Ravens at number one. Of course, they beat the Patriots, and the Patriots are at number two right now. 49ers are at three. Green Bay Packers are at four. Saints are at five. Vikings at six. Seattle Seahawks at seven. Texans at eight. Bills at nine. The Oakland Raiders at 10. Eagles at 11. And I'll stop at 12 because that's where your Chiefs
are.
Okay, can we
safely assume CBS is smoking crack at this point?
I don't know. Because
the Raiders are at 10. But no, seriously, Seattle that low, Kevin, after just beating San Francisco?
Yeah, they're 8-2 right now. Yeah.
And would you really put the Bills ahead of the Raiders or the Chiefs at this point?
What I'm wondering when these type of things are done are not necessarily of who they've played and the results, but also
how they're
looking and how they're doing it while, whether, they won or lost the last game or not. I think they're looking at trends as well, injuries. I think that's why this just seems so
okay. Well, let me go off the NFL power rankings here real quick. As the 49ers come in at one at 8-1, I guess I can roll with that. They have the Ravens at number 2, 7-2, the Patriots at 3, the Seahawks at 4, that's a lot better, the Packers at 5, the Saints at 6, the Vikings at 7, the Cowboys at 8, the Texans at 9, the Chiefs at 10, the Eagles at 11, the Steelers at 12, the Rams at 13, your Raiders at 14, and the Panthers at 15, and with the Buffalo Bills at 16. You know, the top of it, I can roll with for the most part. I don't know if I would have the Saints at 6 after the beatdown they took from Atlanta, and I don't think I would have the Cowboys ahead of the Texans.
See, this is one of those things where, like, they expect the Saints to right the ship right away because they seem to the team that has the one bad loss or the one loss that they shouldn't have had. But because the team is still solid, they still have good players, there's no big significant injuries. This is the type of things that fall into these power ranking.
I'll tell you what, too. I would have your Raiders coming in at 11 on this list because I think they're better right now, better than the Eagles, Steelers, or Rams.
I would agree with that.
Those are the power rankings for the NFL. Should we talk a little NFL news? Because there's a couple interesting things.
Yes, let's get into the news. Yeah, because we got some scheduling to talk
about. The NFL has started flexing the Sunday night football game, and it starts in week 12 as they have flexed from a 4:25 game into the Sunday night football spot. They have moved the Dallas Cowboys versus the New England Patriots from the Sunday night football spot and have inserted the San Francisco 49ers versus the Green Bay Packers in week 12. I am all for this, and I gotta love it anytime the Patriots get knocked out of a primetime game.
This is true. I kind of wish though the Raiders got moved into Chargers got moved into that Saturday spot. Just because it would have been easier for me to get down to LA to see that game because it's only a few hours away.
Well,
because I work Sundays, so I'd have to like try to get that off. But I'm taking the previous Sunday off for the final Raider game in Oakland.
Yep. So, but they also made some changes in Week 16 as we're going to get a Week 16 Saturday triple header as they have moved the Houston Texans to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to 1 p.m. Saturday, the Buffalo Bills at New England Patriots to 4:30 p.m. Saturday, and in primetime, the Los Angeles Rams at San Francisco 49ers at 8:15. I get it, they're taking advantage of no college football, but still. I got to think some teams finding out about this late in the game aren't too happy.
Understood. Yeah. Yeah. That Los Angeles Rams, I'm curious if they're going to get better by that time or if they're going to be kind of on the same road.
They're going to be on the same road they are now, but that's just my personal opinion.
But it might mean a lot to the Niners, depending on home field advantage, to seeing like how the Saints are doing. And possibly how Seattle's
exactly.
Doing.
So
I think that game will be more important to the Niners than it will be to the Rams.
Yep.
We'll see.
Kevin, I'm going to put the next story into it's put up or shut up time. Because for the last 2 years, we have heard nothing but, oh, Colin Kaepernick isn't getting a chance. Colin Kaepernick is blackballed. Colin Kaepernick is suing the league because he's getting blackballed. It's a conspiracy against Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick. Well, this coming Saturday, Colin Kaepernick has the chance that he's been asking for. The NFL has arranged an open workout for Colin Kaepernick and that all 32 teams are welcome to attend for him to try to show his wares and get back onto an NFL roster.
He says in a tweet here, I'm just getting word from my representatives that the NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. I've been in shape and ready for 3 years. I can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday. To me, this just proves one thing and only. If you're an a-hole or if you do something that rubs people, a lot of people, the wrong way, no matter your religious views or if you're just a freaking jerk, you will get blackballed unofficially and not play for a team and people won't call you. We have examples of that from a certain player this year.
This is true. Here is my deal with Kaepernick. And I'm sorry, I truly believe this. The NFL figured out Colin Kaepernick. It happens. Deal with it. This wasn't about...
You're talking about how to defend against him.
Once they figured him out... Let's look at his passing numbers the last couple seasons he played in the league. They weren't great. Teams did sniff around Colin Kaepernick. Seattle looked at him more than once. A couple other teams thought about signing him. You know... It becomes an issue too, and I call this the Tim Tebow effect. When a player becomes the player himself is more of a distraction to the team than actually a contribution to the team. And yeah, Colin Kaepernick, exactly. It would have been a national media distraction. You would have had media from all over the world coming on you just because it's Colin Kaepernick. No coach wants to deal with that. And that's what happened with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow had this cult following. Yep. No coach wanted that around his team. Plus, Tim Tebow wasn't that great of a quarterback. So, like I said, Kaepernick, you've got your chance to show that you can still do it. So prove it. And I don't want to hear any more from you after this if you don't get signed.
Yeah, exactly. And it... if he does get signed, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, because there are some teams that could definitely use him if he's ready for round two.
See. It'll be interesting. The last story is one that's down here in my area. The Tampa Bay Bucks waived former number one pick, who they just drafted 3 years ago, Vernon Hargreaves, cornerback, played for the University of Florida. But why did they waive him? He got benched in the Arizona game for not hustling and basically giving up a 55-yard touchdown pass. And he admitted after the game, yeah, I didn't hustle enough on that play, but I'll work it out with the coach. Well, the coach worked it out for him because he cut him, Kevin.
Yeah.
This is just a guy who's a knucklehead at this point.
Yeah, you know what, though? I've seen this type of stuff happen just from the eye test, watching football on TV. Yeah. I see players like half-ass tackling and stuff like that. I see it on my own Raiders from time to time, but watching other non-Raider games, I see it elsewhere. It's, you know, it's on video. You can see that. And, you know, that's something that if he's going to do something like that, he needs to own up to it right away. And he needs to say to his coach, I'm going to work.
Yeah. But you don't go to the media with it. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kevin, shall we take a look ahead then to week 11 and what is coming up?
Oh yes, please.
Let's start with Thursday night, as it's an old school football rivalry, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland is favored again here.
I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't understand the Cleveland Browns.
Is it because of the talent they have on the team that just hasn't gelled yet, and they're at home and Pittsburgh isn't Pittsburgh-ish yet?
I'm going to say this about the Cleveland Browns. If the Cleveland Browns actually ever got a real football coach.
Yeah. Yeah, Kitchens. Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Freddie Kitchens, but that guy climbed the...
Well, yeah, okay, is. No. I'll knock him.
What I'm going to say is this. Freddie Kitchens was given to the keys to the car well before he was ready. He should have been a coordinator for a couple of years. I think my prediction is this. Freddie Kitchens is the next Norv Turner. Great offensive-minded coach, but horrible head coach. So, right. Moving on to Sunday, we got Dallas at Detroit. A matchup with the Thanksgiving teams.
Yeah, right.
New Orleans at Tampa Bay. This could be a trap game for New Orleans. It's going to be interesting how New Orleans comes out after what happened to Atlanta in Atlanta. Speaking of Atlanta at Carolina. Carolina is going to be really needs a win to keep things going. Jacksonville at Indianapolis, shaping up to be an interesting game, as Indianapolis has kind of fallen by the wayside the last couple of weeks.
Does it seem like these two teams play each other like 10 times a year?
It feels like it. Houston. Oh, no. It's Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville. They just play. They rotate every week, you know?
Yeah.
Big game for Jacksonville, though, because Nick Foles is back. So it's going to be interesting seeing that. And Jacoby Brissett should be back for the Colts as well. We've got the Denver Broncos traveling to Minnesota. I'm sorry for the Broncos, but I'd be lying. The cluster bowl of the week, the New York Jets at Washington. Yeah.
Yet we'll probably still get more ratings than any World Series have over the
last
10 years.
We've got Buffalo at Miami. Okay. I think a very interesting game, and two of the best young quarterbacks in the league going at it. Houston at Baltimore, Kevin.
I would watch this game.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun and entertaining game. You got Arizona at San Francisco. I feel sorry for Arizona. You're going to have a very angry San Francisco team to deal with. But I will say this. Kyler Murray, fun to watch.
Fun to watch. And, it'd be interesting to see if the Arizona play him just as hard as they did when they played him at home.
Another interesting game to me is New England at Philadelphia. New England coming off their first loss and a bye week. So is Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is trying to stay alive here. New England got exposed. New England finally played a quality football team and got exposed pretty badly. Yeah. So it'll be interesting what happens there. Is it a bye week for Oakland, Kevin?
I'm not sleeping on Cincinnati, man. I'm not going to do it, dude.
Josh Jacobs should have like 500 yards in this game.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not gonna say anything like that. I'm not jinxing this, man.
Another interesting game is the Sunday night game, more because you're not sure what the heck you're gonna see, because that's Chicago at the Rams.
Is this the game of the?
This is a loser Leafs town game.
Hold on. Is this the highest paid lineman bowl?
Something like that, but let me put it this way: I don't want to make Aaron Donald angry at me, so.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, Mexico City take two, because we know what happened last year. Somehow I don't think the game will be quite as entertaining as the game that was supposed to be in Mexico City last year. But the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the LA Chargers, or as I call them, the Nomad Chargers. Yes. I think Kansas City's going to take some frustrations out on the Chargers.
I think the Chargers will have more fans in Mexico than they have its entirety in Los Angeles.
You know, somebody said, there was some comedian who made the joke on a podcast that I listened to about the NFL. Yeah, you really want to incentivize these guys. The loser not only loses the game, they lose their passports and have to stay in Mexico City.
Kansas City is only favored by 3.5.
I think it's because of the injuries on the offensive line. I really do, because that's what scares me about this game. That Chargers pass rush is still scary.
Yes, and they have good players on offense too, man. And bye weeks, we've got Green Bay, Giants, Seattle, and Tennessee.
Now, Kevin, you brought this up. You wanted to look at the remaining schedules of both our teams, Kansas City and Oakland. So you want me to run?
I think.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, let me. I think this would be a good time because things got interesting. Yeah. You know, to quote Monica from Friends, when your Chiefs lost and my Raiders won, and some other stuff happening with the other AFC teams, the Raiders are now 5-4. Your Chiefs are now 6-5 now?
Yeah, 6-5. We're a game up. Plus, we have a tiebreaker because of the win earlier in the season.
Yeah, but you guys also have a bye coming up as well. So let's look at your Chiefs' remaining schedule. And what I want to do here is I want to discuss our remaining schedules here and our speculation on where our teams could end up. And I want to be realistic about it and try not to be too fanboy in it. But the AFC West division is very interesting because – technically, you can't count out the Chargers either.
Yeah.
You know? Things will get really interesting if the Chargers beat your Chiefs on Monday night, because they'll be back in it, and depending on what happens with the Raiders at home against Cincinnati, things are going to get really interesting here. So, let's look at your team's remaining schedule here. As we mentioned, Monday night in Mexico against the Chargers. Then you have your bye. Now, here's what pisses me off. It seems like the Raiders always get the Chiefs. At least it feels like it. The Raiders seem to get their Chiefs every now and then after your bye. And it's infuriating because Andy Reid is really good after a bye, after a rest, after some sleep.
Andy Reid's record after a bye is like, he has no losses.
it's crazy. So the Raiders, after their three-game homestand, travel to Arrowhead Stadium for December 1st game against your Kansas City Chiefs. Then December 8th, you guys go to New England. Okay. Then on December 15th, against the Denver Broncos at home, then you get the Chicago Bears. And this is at Soldier Field, okay? Then you go home and you play the Los Angeles Chargers. So, realistically, where your team's at right now, injuries, throw all the stuff, everything that factors something here, your defense, Patrick Mahomes, he's riding high. I mean, he had a great game last week. How are you feeling confident right now? Because, and I have to keep bringing it up, you picked your Chiefs in our week-to-week football wagers that we do and we have fun with, and we keep track of the points and everything. You picked your Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl here.
So
where do you feel with your remaining schedule?
I still feel we are in the driver's seat to win the AFC West, but I'm not going to lie. I think Monday night is an absolutely huge game for how the remainder of the season is going to go. If we win Monday night, it takes some pressure off because we get the bye week, and after the bye week, you're going to see at least three of these injured offensive linemen back, including all-pro left tackle Eric Fisher, who has been out since week two. And that is going to make a huge difference on the Chiefs offensive line. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, let's not forget, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill have played in two games together this season. That is it. Because so there, we saw what they could do together against Tennessee. So that's going to expand on things. We have the bye. I like the Raiders are going to always Raiders Chiefs games are always crazy. But like you said, Andy Reid coming out of the bye. New England's going to be interesting because, again, the Chiefs are going to be fired up for New England. And let's see. New England's defense got exposed by Lamar Jackson. Let's see what Patrick Mahomes might do with that. So, but that's I'm not calling that a gimme. That is the toughest game on our schedule remaining, without a doubt. I'm not too concerned about the Broncos. They're a mess right now at quarterback.
At home.
Chicago, I'm not really that concerned about. They can't get offense right now. And their defense has not been that great the last few weeks. And then
I'm curious if we're going to see a resurgence, though, in them, because they won this last week. So I'm curious to see if they're going to get better. That's going to make that game a little more.
Yeah, we'll see. But and then closing out with the Chargers. And that, I mean, that's it's an AFC West game. Craziness happens. But I mean, realistically, I would say probably one to two losses on our remaining schedule. But I think the wins that we'll get and who your teams play at the end of the season, it's going to be closer than what you think. But I think the way it's shaping up right now, the first and second place team in the AFC West could make the playoffs in the AFC.
So you're 6-4 yeah. right now. You could see possibly two more losses. So
10-6 easy.
10-6 season. Okay. All right. I think that's realistic. Yeah.
So what okay. I want to know, Kevin, is how did the Raiders manage to get three bye weeks this year?
Okay, so let's look at the Raiders here. So we have, I'm not going to lie. The schedule right now is favoring us because of the way that we're playing. If we were playing the way people expected us to be this year and what these other teams, how they were expecting to look, it's a different story. But because the Raiders are now kind of, you know, playing as a better as a team, the defense is coming together a little bit better. We got a great running game. Derek Carr is throwing it to multiple receivers right now, which is great. So all players are a threat. It's really, really nice to see that. But yes, we're at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a game that we should win. But I hate saying that because I've seen so many times with a bad Raiders team anyway, of these teams that they are favored against and they should have won and they don't. So yes, we should win that game. I think
for this game, particular Cincinnati game, the only fear I would have for if I was a Raider fan is supposedly AJ Green is coming back. If AJ Green is like out there with a prove it game and all of a sudden the next thing you know, he's got like three touchdowns and 150 yards receiving. But then, oh, wait. Ryan Finley is the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that's true. The trick is the Raiders getting to the quarterback, and they've been able to disrupt that and make the quarterback nervous as of late. And that I think that's where the game's going to be won. And it depends, too, if they can stop Josh Jacobs. But the trip across country to the New York Jets the following week, that one I am a little
1 p.m.
more
West
leery
Coast,
about.
East Coast thing, that's always kind of iffy.
Yeah, I mean, they've proven this year that they can win in different time zones, which is nice. And the other thing, too, is I know a lot of Raider fans in the East Coast are going to be at this game, so that's going to be entertaining as well. But I think the last time they went there, I think the Jets won. So I'm more leery about this. And of course, the toughest game is against your Chiefs December 1st after you guys have a bye. Playing an Arrowhead is always tough. It's just it's gonna have to be a scrappy game, and the Raiders are gonna have to not turn things over, not turn balls over, and have got to watch the penalties. Yeah. I have a feeling the penalties are gonna kill us at a game like that.
And they actually have to cover Chiefs wide receivers this time.
This is true. This is very, very true. So December 8th at home, Tennessee, that's going to be a tough game, but I think that's winnable. The game that I'm going to be at, December 15th, Jacksonville Jaguars. Nick Foles is back. We'll see. But that the Jacksonville Jaguars, are, you know, this is where both the Tennessee Titans and the Jaguars are very important games for the AFC playoff picture. And these are the games that they have to win if they don't win that game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let me put it this way. I think those are the two games that decide your season. I truly do.
Right. I think you're absolutely
right.
Because I think
the Raiders, Titans, and Jaguars are all very evenly matched. And it's a thing for both of your teams this season. It's been up and down. Right now your Raiders are playing up, but they were playing down earlier in the season. Same with Jacksonville, same with Tennessee. When you look good, you look really good. But when you look bad, it's ugly. It's been ugly. And I think
I could see the December 22nd game at Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to see if I can try to get to that game. I could see that also a spoiler game too, if one of those Jacksonville, Tennessee games don't go the way that we want. And the at Denver Broncos, I feel better about that game than I would have earlier, because of the way the Broncos are playing, but you never know.
The only thing I'll say about that is, and we both had experience with this, especially in the final week of the season in an AFC West matchup, AFC West teams, no matter how bad they are, would like nothing better than be the team that knocks one of the other ones out of the playoffs.
Yeah. And you know, the Jets too. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, but we are 5-4 right now. I could see, we see maybe a loss against your Chiefs. I have to be realistic about that. I do see them winning. So 5-4 winning against the Bengals, 6-4, hopefully 7-4 against the Jets, 7-5 we lose to the Chiefs. Tennessee, I think we could win 8-5, 9-5 against Jaguars. Let's say we lose one of those, so we're
8-6.
8-6, yeah. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. 8-6, maybe 9-7.
You 9-7, 10-6 if everything bounces right. But the key is the Chiefs game. If you guys lose the Chiefs game, that's really going to be a hard death knell for you as far as winning the division, because getting swept by Kansas City is going to be tough.
Right now, I'm not expecting to win the division. I'm just sniffing that playoff spot for a wild card somewhere.
Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break and tell you what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with high quality, sage, Encyclopedia Brown level, mediocre fantasy football advice.
Brown level?
Encyclopedia Brown.
Encyclopedia Brown. Okay.
So, you know, or World Book Encyclopedia, either or. But anyway, here's a little bit about what's going on here at the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Okay, so we hope you're feeding your ears with some quality podcasts and you're enjoying what we're doing around here. But Kevin, let's talk a little fantasy football with some patented Enzo mediocre fantasy football advice. But this week it starts with our Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award winners. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go first on this one. So I've had some consistent players, but I have one player that I'm going to give my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award because it was because of this player that I picked up on a whim because I was hurting for a wide receiver. In my silver and black UK league. Okay, so I'm not really a contender for a playoff spot. I think I'm like 4-6 or 4-5. I can't remember what it was, but you know, somewhere right around there. But I'm playing that league hard. I'm not letting anyone walk over me. And because I'm not doing as well, I'm getting a lot of these waiver wire pickups, but I'm not, you know, always, it's not always working for me. And there's like two less spots too, because it's like a 12 team league. So there's like one less bench spot and it's really kind of tough to hold on to team players that are on buys or injured and, you know, and you don't want to lose out on that decent waiver wire pickup. So because of buys that was killing me last week and some injuries, I needed a wide receiver and I had Golden Tate already. And so I decided to pick up Darius Slayton.
Yeah. A very hot waiver wire pickup this week for sure.
Yes. But here's the thing though. Let me just mention that comment that you just said is that, Sterling Sharp is supposed
Sterling
to come Sharper. Back.
I was going to say Sterling Shepard coming back. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, no, not that Sterling Shepard. But Sterling Shepard's supposed to come back, and so that might dip into his production. But I was like, okay, so am I going to start two Giants receivers? It's all I had because I was looking at my other options. And so what's funny, though, is going into that game, you know how there's projections for who is projected to win in fantasy? Uh-huh. You know, when you look at that. I only had a 30% chance to win that game until Darius Slayton went off. And this is one of those leagues where, like, you know, it's not inflated scoring like we have on a couple of my leagues where you get a point for almost everything and there's some bonuses here and there. The dude was the highest scoring person on my team. He got me 34 points. Yeah. And I was able to win that game because of Darius Slayton, who earns my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award.
So I had a lot of options for my Man Crush Award. I could have went with Ronald Jones of Tampa Bay, finally named the starting running back and had some solid numbers scoring for me in my CBS Sports League. I could have went with Aaron Jones, another huge game for him. But come on, at the end of the day, it is Lamar. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, but I am for real Lamar Jackson. Playing Madden football with the rest of the league, including one of the craziest 47-yard quarterback touchdown runs I've seen in a very long time. And even crazier on the Ravens side, Kevin, do you realize they had a backfield of one point that was three Heisman Trophy winners? They lined up a trick play, and in the lineup was Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson, and Heisman Trophy winner Robert Griffin III.
Wow.
So... yes, so Lamar Jackson, who has been my savior in fantasy football this season, I'm not even going to lie about it, He is my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award. But Kevin, I'm kicking a team, both sides, off of Fantasy Island this week. The New York.
It's funny. I hold on, before you mention it, I'm actually about to kick off a team's defense off Fantasy Island.
The New York Jets, all of them, booted off of Fantasy Island, and I'm starting with the guy who's going to lead the way with is Le'Veon Bell, who I had horrible feelings about before the season even started, and he has 2 touchdowns on the season, Kevin. 2.
He's only useful in our leagues where he gets a point per touch. Because he's getting the touches, but he's just not turning them into
anything. The sad part is there was rumors at the trade deadline that Kansas City inquired about Le'Veon Bell, and I was all in on that because I'm like, oh, yes, please get him on a team with some real talent around him and Andy Reid coaching him. So I'm going to say this, Kansas City, look into that option again in the offseason. That's just all I'm going to say.
I'm not ready to.
Kevin, it's week 11.
Push them. Okay, so Carolina defense.
They've fallen apart.
The first, yeah. So weeks 3 through 6, 3 of those 4 weeks, and I'm going by my ESPN scoring here. They scored 8 of those 4 weeks. They scored 8 points or higher. Of 3 weeks of those, they scored 14, 15, and 18 points. After the bye week, something happened. They've scored a total of 9 points in those 3 weeks.
It's been a little,
points.
Been a little ugly for the Panthers defense. So,
Right now, I'm kicking them off.
For now. Okay. So let's take a quick look at the waiver wires because it's getting slim pickings, but it's that crush time. Running backs, there's a couple out there. A lot of people have kind of cut these players, but might bring them back. Darrell Williams, running back, Kansas City, got a little bit more playing time. Alexander Mattinson of Minnesota, JD McKissick, Detroit. He's about the only healthy running back on that roster, so you might want to look there. Brian Hill, running back, Atlanta, again, health wise.
This is the big pickup here because there's no one else.
There is really nobody else.
He's going to get the volume. He's going to get the touches. He's going to be on the most snaps. If you are in dire need for a running back, this is the guy. A
couple other players. Of course, you mentioned him earlier. I think he's pretty pricked up if you haven't yet. Darius Slayton of the Giants. Also, James Washington of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Owned him mostly average about 6% of the leagues, but he's starting to get some chemistry again with his old college quarterback, Mason Rudolph, and it's starting to show on the field. Also a guy who I think a lot of teams might've picked up on him. If you haven't yet, Alan Lazard of Green Bay, he's starting to prove more and more. He's becoming one of Rodgers' guys.
Yeah. And also, I guess we got to bring up Noah Fant again for that tight end position because there's some tight ends of note that are hurt
and bye weeks.
Austin Hooper and also Kittle's kind of questionable now, so that's a player that you want to go out.
So, well, real quick before we get out of here, Kevin, do you want to go over what fantasy football leagues did?
Yeah, so I want to talk about our trophy league here, and I ended up losing. Against the Wuppertal? I think I lost to them. So I'm in a tough division here.
Yeah. You got Jen on your...
Well, Charlie's nuts here. Jennifer Walk is now leading in the league. She has dethroned me because she beat me earlier, Kyle. But we have the same record at 8-2. Darn you, Jennifer! You're still there at 7-3, up at the top. Wuppertal Frogs is, below you at 4-6. They're sniffing. But they're going to get a playoff spot here. This is going to be really interesting. My buddy Andreas Kruger there in Germany, even though he has a, 4-6 record right now, because of the way it's set up, he's second in there. He's going to get a chance for a playoff spot, and he's got your buddy, Mr.
Which
Mahomes,
makes him scary in the playoffs.
Yes, and he's got Melvin Gordon too, Keenan Allen, Ronald Jones. So that's going to get really, really interesting there. You a little nervous at all?
You always got to watch. Problem? Always got to watch out. You know, got to keep the head on a swivel.
Now, our ESPN standard regular league right now, I'm at 8-2. I'm in the driver's seat right there in my division here with my buddy Vincent at 5-5. Actually, there's two guys with 5-5, Vincent and Michael. And then in your division there, you are, where are you right now? Oh, you're in my division. That's right. You're at 4-6.
Yeah, it's been
six.
A rough season. Injuries have gotten me bad this year.
Yeah. But in the West League there, my buddy Jamie and Charles are at 7-3 with Jennifer Walk in third place at 6-4. If she's going to want to make the playoffs in that one, she's got to go on a little run here. So we will see how that goes. Yeah, so there we are. Let me see. I did all right in my Yahoo leagues. I think I won them all, actually, the three Yahoo that I have. And then, of course, I did. I think the only one I lost was the trophy league game. So I think I went 5-1 total there on that week.
Yep, it's crunch time. Playoffs are coming right around the corner. The final run here in the next 3 weeks for most fantasy football leagues is coming. So, yeah, use that mediocre playoff and fantasy football advice to your advantage.
Well, I mean, it's one thing I want to mention real quick is I'm having to make some decisions on players that. I would rather roster these potential healthy players because the playoffs for the fantasy week is going to start in a few weeks.
Yep.
And you have to keep that in mind. Are these players that have been crucial for you, but now they're hurt? Like Austin Hooper, do you keep him, you know, if he's not going to be back healthy right away and instead you go for someone that you know that is going to be healthy and stuff. So these are these tough decisions you have to make.
Absolutely. But you know what, Kevin? We're in the fun time of the football season.
So, this is true.
But with that, what we're going to do now is call a little audible. Maybe we'll get a snow game. Do you think we can get a snow game, Kevin? I mean, it's kind of hard with you and
let's go into the end zone in the frozen tundra.
What he said. Good luck with your fantasy this week and hope your team finds a way to get into the end zone.